you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was eating lunch in Dean Pope's office. Olin Kruch, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manily. We never talked football. We talk trash.
Craft Beer Mogul.
Long Snapper IPA. The can is me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino.
Patrick Manily.
I'm sitting at the bar, standing at the bar, and I'm about to go talk to some of my teammates, and I look over to the right, and I'm like, that's Morton Anderson. That's the special teamer. But I had to tell him the story. So Speaks, he's the original one that taught me how to put cold beer in the back of my car after a game outside the locker room.
So you could then go out after the games with your teammates and the beer's already cold and waiting there for you. Yes. Morton Anderson was the inspiration for that.
I just had to tell him thank you and let him know that I carried on that tradition.
Real men of genius.
Real men of genius.
Patrick Manily with
insert host's name here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Matt Spiegel. That's who it is. Host name and Dan Weederer today. Spiegs and Weedsy on 670 The Score. What's up, Pat Manily? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's football season. It's so nice to be able to turn the TV on or go to a live football game and just see all that stuff going on. It's truly about time. And the other thing is, guys, we got excitement in the city. That's the fun thing. We finally have true excitement. Don't tell Mitch this, but I'm actually excited to do the pre and post game show now.
Oh, you won't.
Pat, are you on the highway right now? It sounds like you're running from something.
I was telling you, it's kind of funny. I was on a bike ride with my wife, and I pulled over. I'm in the bowels of McCormick Place.
Oh, wow.
And an 18-wheeler just pulled by. So I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Well, I hope it's not stinky there in the bowels, sir.
No.
Good. Pat Manily joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Pat, I was thinking about the team building trip that we took to South Bend for the Spiegel and Manily show. It was you and me and Nick Shepkowski and Jay Zawoski. We all jellyfished each other. All right, maybe it was just me jellyfishing.
No, you did not. Not me.
I didn't get you. But I got Jay and I got Shep. We had drinks with Pat Foley. We met Caleb Presley, one of the king vibes of all time. And in the bowels of that stadium in South Bend, we met a young long snapper named Scott Daly. Your guy.
We did.
And here
we
he did. Is.
Yeah.
Here he is on the Bears. He's another branch on the Manily tree of long snappers.
No, I'm really happy for him. You know, he always grew up a Bears fan coming from Downers Grove, and I've known him for years. And then when this opportunity came up, you know, I went back and saw that he had got cut by the Lions, and I'm like, well, you know, obviously he's on the top of my list, having to work with him before, but he's had a nice run with the Lions. I think he's, year five now, so they just decided to go a little younger. And I think they found a good replacement for Pat Scales to make Kairos feel a little more comfortable. I think they made the right decision with going with a veteran, especially with having Torrey Taylor, a rookie holder. I think it's somebody that they can mesh a little bit quicker and it'll make it a little bit easier for them. And I think this position of kicker this year is important because I think they're going to be able to score some points and get in field position for Cairo to you know, do his thing.
So, Pat, stick in there for a second. We'll put you in Scott's shoes since you've been in Scott's shoes. How do you describe the challenge of trying to get up to speed quickly with a place-kicking operation when your first practice with your new holder and your new kicker is on the last practice of August?
Yeah, it's really about the holder. So if you want to nerd out, I can a little bit.
Yeah. Because
obviously we worry about laces. We want the laces to be right for the holder to make it easier for the kicker. So what happens is, kind of funny, I was just with Brad Maynard the other day, I ran into him, but we were talking about this, that holders will kind of extend their arms out at a different length. So that'll change the number of rotations that the holder's catching the ball with. So like if Brad and I, who worked 10 years together, we knew what the length, you know, how far he was catching away, and I knew like the speed of my snap. But then if we had like Tress Way, who's with the Redskins, as a backup punter during training camp, or guys like that that came in, I had to change a little bit because they caught it a little differently. So now what he has to do is maybe change his grip, where the laces are going to be on the ball, and how many rotations he has to get it back to the holder. So his job is to make it easy on Torrey, to make it easy on Cairo. So that's the biggest thing that needs to that they need to worry about. The speed will probably be about the same, because in the NFL, you can only vary it so much at an 8-yard snap. So the most important thing is between Scott and the punter, or the holder, I guess. But they'll figure that out, and I think that's why it's important to have a veteran to come in to be able to do that quickly.
I remember you told me that it's sort of like golf, where you have to learn where you can miss, right? And that with Brad, you always knew that you could miss toward the inside of his body as opposed to...
Exactly. Well, you actually listened when I talked?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Somebody's got to.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's interesting, Pat. There's other stuff I want to talk about, but I do have more special teams questions, so I'm going to stay right there. And how much of what Torrey Taylor seems to do... And like with like these, you know, different kind of punts, they get different kinds of bounces. Yeah. How much of that is actually new around the league?
It got new about 10 to 12 years ago, kind of when I was coming out of the league. But I think what happened, guys, is they perfected it now, that they're not afraid to try it. So normally you would drop the ball, either laces kind of, you know, from like your chest to your toe. You would either hit the flip-flop kick so it'd spin, or you'd hit the spiral kick. Now they're dropping it almost sideways, you know, different toe angles, all that kind of stuff. So it's new-ish, but these guys aren't afraid to do it anymore. And now they have so much time to practice, and, you know, they just perfected it. So it's changed the game for the returners.
Breaker, we got a jackknife machine.
Oh, I'm so sorry, guys.
Breaker one, right? This is Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on.
I just ran upstairs, and I'm trying to hide behind a pole. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all right.
This is a hell of a hit, huh?
We're just going to play Convoy and have a good afternoon. Sam?
We'll smoke in the Bandit.
we're just going to lean into it right here.
Yes, yeah. Hopefully you hear what I just said.
Oh,
sorry
yeah,
about
no,
that.
We got most of it, but hang on a second, Pat. This song kicks ass.
It was a dark moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy all hugs. Is heading for Bear on
I'm pretty sure that this song is about special teams, if I'm not mistaken. it actually is.
No, but just go back to some of the things again. Yeah, we got a little gun there. It's your beautiful sight. Oh, it's too funny.
Oh, it is.
Oh.
The
punters aren't afraid to try it. That's what it is, and now they perfected it. So it's amazing. I remember Brad trying different kicks back in the day, and he couldn't do it. He's like, there's no way I could do that in a game, because he'd hit it, you know, hit it well 3 out of 10 times. Now they're doing it 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
All right, one more is on the special teams. And by the way, what load are you hauling right now?
It's a secret one.
Oh, this secret trucker load of Pat Manley.
Yes.
Yeah. And your truck, your 18-wheeler, looks like an El Camino, doesn't it? Badass.
It does. I keep the back open. Yes, it's all open, so it's exposed.
So do you really believe we're going to see... You really believe we're going to see...
With your afternoon show speaks.
Oh, it's the best segment we've done in 3 weeks. Do you really believe that we're going to see different strategies in kickoff returns this week when games actually start? Are we going to see some new stuff?
I think the biggest thing you'll see, and Belichick said it first, so I got to give him credit. Obviously, you're gonna agree with what he said, but I think you're gonna see more touchbacks. They're just gonna give that 5 yards up to go from the 25 to the 30 and not worry about the return. But the other thing I think you're gonna see is kind of misdirection, with maybe fake reverse and things like that to get guys to over pursue, because nobody's really done that in the preseason so far. So I think that's the biggest thing you'll see that they'll try. Because with only being 5 yards apart, you can only scheme so much because you don't have that much space, if that makes sense. You can only really double team. It's hard to get like a long trap from one side of the field to the other. But I think if you do misdirections where the ball carrier is going more east and west more, you'll be able to do that. That's just kind of stuff I think you'll maybe see, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of it. I think it'll be more of trial and error and see how it looks, and then they'll go from there.
Pat, your energy with this team seems like it's up, as most people in Chicago have it. A little bit of a two-parter here. You've talked in your past about being a young player here and Big Cat telling you have no idea what this place is going to be like when when you start winning here. You have a whole locker room full of guys that have no idea what it's going to be like. What would be your message to them about understanding what they have the opportunity to unlock with this city as hungry as it is and how starved they are for a team that they can believe in?
You know, the one thing that, it's funny you say that, because Olin and I were texting back and forth about some stuff, and I said, listen, I'm already drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm sorry, I am. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid already. I'm starved for it as well, like any other fan. But I am excited because the roster looks so much better now on paper compared to what it's been in the past. You look at matchups and you feel like they can win them. But the deal is, when you get here at the city and you start winning, enjoy it, right? But just remember, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Just remember, it's, you know, you can't get too high if you go 3-0. I mean, you can end up 3-3, you know, in 3 more weeks. So just enjoy it while it's going along, but remember to take it week by week. And that just sounds kind of cliche, but that's what it is. And then once you get to the playoffs, that's when you turn it up. You get to really enjoy it, really buckle down, and then really get to see these fans go nuts.
So since you're drinking the Kool-Aid, take me here. The greatest post game that you've ever felt was after the NFC Championship game. Set the scene for the audience of being in Timothy O'Toole's and having Ric Flair walk down the stairs.
Oh, man. I was just there the other day. It was amazing because I somehow got in contact with him, was able to get him tickets to the game. Never thought in a million years he'd come party with us afterwards. So I sent him a text. We used to go to the back room at Timothy O'Toole's with our families and have a cocktail or two and some food and then go home. But that ended up being our first place we went to. And I got a text from Ric Flair. He's like, where are you guys at? I'm like, no way. No way. I'm like, guys, Ric Flair's coming. And everybody's like, no way. I'm like, yes. So I talked to Junior, who owns Timothy O'Toole's. I'm like, there's a chance Ric Flair's coming. So have your guy at the door ready. So like I said, we're in the back room. And we're having a great time partying. And next thing you hear is just, woo, woo, the front bar starts going crazy. We start going crazy. The next thing you know, he comes walking in and, you know, he's Ric Flair. And he was awesome. He talked to everybody, took pictures, signed autographs. Then the next thing you know, he ended up going to the next bar with us. After that, I'd gone to bed. I had to go to sleep, but I don't know how late he stayed out. But, Dan, it was a...
That's the payoff.
It was just a surreal moment. That's the payoff. That's it. Yeah. That's the stuff like that that happens. I mean, he shot a video for us. In his feather boa, in his robe, and all that stuff that we played for the Saints game and the game before at Soldier Field. And that's the payoff. You're right. You get to be able to do stuff like that that you never dreamed could happen. And then you're in these moments with these big icons, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm here? Yeah.
That is awesome.
Beat the man! You gotta beat the man! Woo!
That is tremendous.
Yeah, it truly was amazing. But the backstory was Reuben Brown would come out of the locker room and kind of change the words to one of Ric Flair's sayings, and that's how it came about. Somebody's like, hey, who can reach out to Ric Flair? And I'm like, I think he lives in my father-in-law's neighborhood in Charlotte. So we somehow got a number connected, and he goes, hey, how do you want me to shoot this video? You want me to do it like all on Ric Flair? I'm like, oh, please. He's like, how many boas do you want? How shiny do you want the robe? I'm like, all the above. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Reuben Brown's father-in-law's neighborhood is the way in to Ric Flair.
it was cool.
That is amazing. Yeah, nothing really unites this town like when the Bears are good. Nothing.
No.
And you'll get the celebs and everything, but you also just get the conversations. Like, you stay at the toll booth and you talk to somebody for a little while about that game, you know?
Right.
Well, it's fun, too, because I think you guys know I kind of live in Florida a lot of the time. Everybody's talking about the Bears.
Yeah.
I've got guys that are Patriots fans, Giants fans, Jets fans, you know, all over the country, and all they want to talk about is Caleb Williams and the Bears.
We did a segment, Pat. We're talking to Pat Manley here on the afternoon show, Speaks and Dan Wiederer here on The Score. We did a segment on all the captains, and we kind of went through the eight captains one by one. They all all feel legit, and it's part of the overall optimism. It's like, oh, I get why that guy's a captain. Oh, I get why that guy's a captain. All of them. Is eight a lot? Does anything strike you as odd or interesting about the eight captains?
No, I thought about it, and what I'm guessing is that's going to be the leadership council. You know, when you always hear about their four or five captains, you have that. Then you have some other guys that are invited to the head coach's office for the leadership council. So what I think he's done is just said, all right, you guys are the leadership council. And the other thing is everybody knows in that locker room, and Dan, I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
Who are the two captains that really run the team? Like when I was there, it was an honor to be a captain and all that kind of stuff. But we all looked at Olin and Urlacher. Those were our captains. Yeah. They made all the decisions in the locker room, you know, corrected everything on the practice field, set the tempo, set the standard, you know, took care of if there was trash going on in the training room, to the weight room or whatever. Those two guys took care of everything. So it's an honor to be elected captain and all that, but there's always two just kind of alpha dogs, and I'm wondering who you think they are.
Yeah, my gut is it's probably Tremaine and Cole, and okay. I may give Mercedes a little nod there because he's kind of here for that reason, and that reason alone is to be that guy who takes care of everything in the locker room and that everybody looks to.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, because I mean, just being 40 years old, everybody's gonna look up at him like you're as old as my dad.
So how did it function? Like, were you part of a leadership council? Were captains leadership council? Did it work that way at all for you?
It did at the beginning, and then it just as we kept being captains and having our same kind of four to five guys. It'd be Lovey going to Olin and Urlacher. You know what I mean? And that was fine. That's what it was. They knew the vibe of the team. They knew what needed to be done. And we didn't need, you know, six to eight guys kind of coming up with ideas. We'd been there for a while. And I think it's kind of a good idea with him going in his third year and this kind of, you know, setting his roster of what it potentially could be for a while, that these guys will start making the decisions and helping him make decisions. And then from there, I think it might whittle down.
Breaker 1-9er. We got Snapper in the house. There's a fox in the hen house on your tail. Just be careful about that, Long Snapper. Over.
I forgot how loud the city is, man.
It is, especially when you're right next to the traffic. Yes, but we love.
I think, Dan, I heard you a couple weeks ago at the airport. Were you at the airport a couple weeks ago?
Probably.
Right. One time you were, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
I enjoyed that one, too.
Sounds
so I figured it was okay if I called in like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look at you shifting blame like a longtime radio veteran.
I've had to do it from some weird places, believe me.
I'm sure you have, yeah.
You mean radio? We still talking radio? I think we are. Pat, enjoy your bike ride, man. Should be great.
I will.
Thanks,
right,
buddy.
Looking forward to the year and looking forward to talking Bears on pre and post.
All right, sounds good.
And, Take care, Pat.
And good luck.
See you guys.
Good luck getting all that Long Snapper IPA to those binnies. That's what he's driving, right?
We're working on it. We're working on it. All right, guys.
All right, man.
All right, see ya.
Danny's just leaving it up as long as he can. I know that move. That's amazing.
It's still there.
That was amazing. I assume he's hauling a load of Long Snapper IPA. He's got like eight skids of it in the truck.
Just to the bottom of McCormick Place.
That was amazing.
That was good. Did I do one from the airport, maybe?
I don't know.
Must have done
You validated that. You gave him the yes and.
I was trying to think because maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. I think you did.
Recently.
What do you guys think of Pat?
Probably.
I'm not as condescending as Dan, I'll tell you that.
Dude, we've made it to 418, and not one of us have called Dan Wiederer a condescending piece of crap.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
Why would you do that anyway? Why would someone do that to Dan Wiederer?
Yeah, no,
it's a great question, Danny.
Yeah, no one's ever called him a condescending piece of crap.
Not as far as I know. Do we have that tape?
Craig Council did. It was just kind of muffled.
Yeah, you know, Council, it's just in his tone. That's just what Craig sounds like. But no, the moment, never.
Dude, I didn't bring it up, you condescending piece of crap. Like, what the hell is the problem with you today, man?
Wow. Calm down. I'm just trying to talk about the football team that I cover outside of the lane of, wow. Speaks, ask me a question. Like, let's get on a different topic.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I have not listened to that since the day after, the second day after, and the third day after that happened.
We can all laugh about it now, I think.
We can. That's pretty funny to hear. I had forgotten that I just went, whoa! Hey! Oh!
Dude, so, Dan, I don't think I've ever told you this. I wasn't working that day.
You weren't?
I was not working that day.
Who was working?
That's why it all fell apart, Shane.
Someone was filling in, but I was on my way to, like, a charity thing or something like that on, like, a party bus. My phone
It was actually an event to raise awareness for condescending pizza crap.
Yeah, it was. in that moment, I probably got 25 text messages.
Yeah.
About, hey, what's happening on your show right now?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm not there, but I'm not surprised.
Including one from me, probably. Yeah, what's happening on your show, Shane?
I think Candy did say, yo, you're going to want to go back and listen.
I forgot about the ask me a question speech.
Oh, it's amazing. That was really quality radio direction. Yeah.
Can we steer out of this, please?
Yeah, and I think I did. I think my question, if I remember correctly, was, Dan, why are you a condescending piece of crap?
And then we got deeper into it.
You gave a thoughtful answer.
All right, but there's no way to know.
Now, that didn't seem to leave a mark. You know, we all moved forward. Professional, adults, mature adults.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys hugged it out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we brought that up. Thanks, Danny. All right. Well, nobody's going to call Dan Weider that. I mean,
phone lines are open.
Well, you know what? 5 o'clock segment might bring it back. There's a chance in our 5 o'clock segment, but neither way.
I'm going to handle that professionally, talking about the football team that I cover.
I think you can do it. All right. I want to talk with you about how we're going to judge and evaluate Caleb Williams. We'll do that when we come back on 670 The Score. You are listening to 670 The Score. Dan Weiderer talks football with you. And a lot of Cubs today as well. Enjoying Dan Weiderer of the Chicago Tribune right here on Score Afternoons. We had Nico Horner. We had Craig Counsell. Just had Pat Manley. Now we get to hang out and relax and talk with you, the listener, and with each other. And with Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill about the beloved Bears. This town will go crazy if they are any good at all. And this town is already going crazy in advance of them potentially being any good at all. I want to figure out how we're supposed to gauge and evaluate Caleb Williams on the weekly. I have enjoyed doing that with quarterbacks in the process, with Trubisky, with Justin Fields, kind of trying to dissect and figure out what we're seeing. And this is a tricky one to think about because of not just his skill set and his floor, but also where the team is in like the life cycle of potential winning.
Let me ask you this as we start the conversation. It feels like your curiosity about the position over the last 3+ years has been something that has been really illuminating, right? In terms of the guests that you guys have been able to have on and things that they have talked about in terms of the prerequisites for playing the position at the highest level.
Yeah.
And it feels like probably you, as an extension of the entire city, have a better lens to view Caleb through now. Is that fair?
I appreciate you saying it that way. I think it's true. You know, I did middays for every one of Jay Cutler's starts.
Yeah.
So that's something that you live through. But that's a guy in the middle of his career, and you're trying to figure out what he is, what he can do, what he can't, what the ceiling is, what his tragic flaws are, and everything. But then we've had these 7 years of watching young quarterbacks learn or not. And as the people we've talked to, it has gotten a lot. I feel like I've gotten a lot smarter and I've learned a lot more. So that is definitely the backdrop for me.
Because we've seen the false positives. We've seen these moments that felt like they meant something more than they actually did. And then we've learned, oh, okay, that also needs to be complemented by X, Y, and Z for it to be significant or to signify a true breakthrough.
And to your point, I got suckered in, man. I absolutely bought in. I mean, I remember the moment when I came in here, I said, in terms of Fields, like, I think they got their guy.
Yeah.
I think they found their guy. I think it was probably after the Cowboys game in Dallas where they were losing and he led them back like 3 different times. They didn't win, but they put up outrageous numbers on the road. And I was like, look at him doing that.
And that was the week after what felt like a statement win in New England in primetime. You went and beat Belichick and played a brand of football that was winning football. Like, you could go back and watch that Patriots game and see a quarterback who understood what that game required to get out of there with a victory. Had that happened more consistently, he could have stuck around beyond his 3 years
here. You understand why that 2-game stretch we're talking about ended up registering as a false positive.
Absolutely. And then that was followed by the rushing explosion, you know, where he had the big games against Miami and Detroit and to some extent Atlanta as a runner, and you were intoxicated by the feeling of, holy crap. Like, this dude, when he makes plays, he makes them in ways that the stadium comes alive, right? Like, and that was truly a feeling of euphoria for a lot of people that seemed to forecast future euphoria. What wasn't there was the passing production on a consistent basis. What wasn't there was the fourth quarter prowess, right? And I think, like, we have to give Caleb some time. We do have to give him a little bit of the rookie tolerance to make mistakes and to lose games and to make errors that feel awful in the moment.
I'm already not looking forward to some of those days after the rookie mistakes come.
Sure.
And the number of voices who might be trying to spike a ball in terms of historical Bears cynicism because we're watching a kid struggle for right. different reasons than we've watched other people struggle.
The struggles are coming. Like, they are going to happen. And now you just hope that they're not so pronounced that they torpedo an entire season that everyone seems to think has playoff, you know, expectations, right? Inside the building, I think they expect to be playing in a playoff game in January. So now you got to find a way to get there.
Okay, so now here it is, because the easiest way to do this, and as Danny and I started to do it in July, in early August.
Tanny, dump him.
Did I say Danny? I meant Tanny. I'll just make my D's softer, and we're going to be okay. It's all
Please make your D's softer. We've been asking that for a while.
Hey, D's softer. Eh? Is that how the saying goes? No, that's not it. So, look, he very much wanted to define it by numbers. Or sorry, to find it. He wanted to find it by by numbers. Like 3,500 yards or 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. It's like, I think that's folly in general, usually anyway.
Yep.
But especially in a season like this.
Yep.
Hell, man, they might lean on DeAndre Swift and have a great defensive showing,
yep.
and he's got 18 pass attempts during the course of a game. And I don't think this is a kid who's going to give a crap as long as they win.
No, he's not going to give a crap. And that you know, one of the things that Cole Kmet said in the piece that we talked about earlier was that his entire default wiring is, how do we win today? You know, and so that is going to look different Sunday to Sunday. There are going to be different formulas based on the opponent, based on the lead that you have in a game.
As it should be.
Based on the flow of the game.
Yeah.
So, look.
There are weeks where the Bills' defense was so good during Josh Allen's run right. here, where some of those weeks were not that impressive statistically.
Yep. I got this question several times over the weekend. So what are you talking? You know, like you said, what are we talking, like 3,600 yards? And I said, I don't know. Here's what I want to see. I want to see obvious and undeniable progress that is continual throughout the whole season in areas of playing quarterback that you have to master to be a star in this league. Like, we are setting Caleb Williams up on a trajectory to become one of the league's greats, right? And in order to do that, you have to understand what boxes you need to check. It's the things we've talked about for years. It's the pocket presence. It's the ability to process quickly. It's the ability to get the ball out quickly, to avoid drive-killing 9-yard sacks when you could have either found a check down or thrown the ball out of bounds earlier in the play.
Yeah.
You know, and then ultimately, when we talk about the quarterbacks who get their teams over the hump, it's about the fourth quarter. And it's about all those things that Justin Fields never could do here, which was figure out a way with the ball in his hand and the game on the line to seize the moments that need to be seized to win football games. That's where Justin's trapdoor opened up beneath him.
In the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter with the game on the line, you know, 8 minutes or less with the chance to tie a game or put the Bears ahead, he led three drives that succeeded in 23 opportunities.
All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit more about fourth quarter stuff, but I want to dial this in with you, because you've always been good about dialing stuff in like this. I remember when you let us into you counting tuck and runs,
right?
For Justin Fields, like, how many times does he tuck and run?
Yep.
And that's not tuck and look to pass; it's tuck and run. Does he always have to when he does that? Is it sometimes a happy feet choice, slightly, or a slightly nervous choice?
Yep.
Those kind of things. Here's what Dave Wanstead said when I asked him about what the coaches are going to want from the young quarterback in this theoretically competitive or winning window.
Yeah.
He's going to have to just make a few plays, I think, in every game that make a difference. He doesn't have to do it 65 times or whatever plays they run, 80 plays, but he does have to make a half a dozen plays, whether it's a good decision, whether it's a play with his arm, whether it's a play with his feet, that puts the game in a position for the Bears to win.
So I love that. And I wonder if coaches sit around and watch film and count stuff in that way, as opposed to counting the numbers that we can look at.
Yeah. You know, coming out of the Bengals game, I put like an emoji rating on Twitter of star power, you know, thumbs up, medium face, thumbs down, or puke emoji, right? And like ranked every single passing play of Caleb Williams is there. And you want to see the star power total be like Wani said, like six plays a game. It doesn't even need to be plays that succeed. Like one of the star power plays from the Bengals game is the one where Roma Dunze was out of the back of the end zone. But Caleb extended that play, waited to the last possible second, had the defense on a string, and then threw a fastball right to the strike zone of Roma Dunze. And if his feet are in bounds, right, you're talking about that play for a week, yes, right? And you're going to need to see that every half out of him. Something like that. The other one in that game, that it was a PI penalty on a deep ball to Tyler Scott, where it was just like, man, like that ball was a special deep ball. You know, the play was set up for a shot play. Caleb hit the back of his drop. It was open. Tyler Scott had run the route exactly as he'd coached, and he threw it there. And Caleb was pissed that Tyler Scott got pulled down because he thought it was either going to be a touchdown,
yes,
or a huge completion. Yeah, and to see that competitive fire being like, man, I didn't want the flag. I wanted the completion. After putting forth a throw that is clearly a star power throw, you say that is the stuff you need to see again once a half, once a quarter throughout the early stages.
All right, so these are the things that are percolating around my head. A half dozen plays a game that are the reasons you won. You know, the reasons that yeah, drives completed. And then when Ryan Poles was asked specifically for his Caleb Williams expectations, he said this.
What do you expect from him this year?
I expect him to... It's a great question. I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special.
The special. And as fans of the Lego movie know, the special is it's within you. I believe it's within you. We're all the special. All right, I need to rewatch.
You're the one the prophecy spoke of. You're the special.
Me?
You found the piece of resistance, and the prophecy states that you're the most important, most talented, most interesting, and most extraordinary person in the universe. That's you, right?
Yes. That's me.
The special.
Yeah.
Caleb seems to be and have the special. And there's polls saying he wants it and he needs it, but not all the time.
What I loved about what Ryan said there was he said when the time is right, and then he put a little pause in there and said, and it's instinctual. It's not like Shane Waldron's going to come over the headset and go, Caleb, the time is right. You know, make the big play here. It's just like, it's got to register.
I think
like,
it should be Pat Manley on the CB radio myself.
Caleb, time is right.
Breaker, one nighter. This is the time to unleash the special over.
But that's it, right? Like you got to know, right? Like you just have to have that feel for when you need it and when you can produce it and not try to do it too much. We know his superpower is the extended play.
Yes.
Make something happen. You don't want it that to become the crutch that keeps you from playing quarterback.
So how do I count these, Dan? It's a Monday afternoon. I come in here to do the show with God knows who, right? And I'm doing the show. And we're trying to count the plays, the half dozen plays from Wani's perspective.
Yeah.
But I'm also documenting the special and those plays. But some of the half dozen plays don't have to be the special. They have to be the simple play. They have to be the layup that he hits in a crucial moment, right?
So those are some of the thumbs up ones, right? Like just the, like we're going to hit this slant to Keenan here to convert a third and four.
Yes.
Right? And it's a 5-yard completion and it's there, right? Shane Waldron did highlight two completions from the Bengals preseason game that were, one was a 9-yarder to Komet, the other one was an 11-yarder to Simba Webster, which were what you're talking about. It's just hit the top of your drop, know where the ball's supposed to go, see it, rip it, throw it. Don't waste time. Like Justin, it would take too long. The delivery would take too long. Sometimes the ball wouldn't even go there. And you'd be like, man, that play has to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
an NFL quarterback has to make that.
You got to do that. And so you're going to know those plays like little by little. I think we're going to have a greater appreciation for those plays with Caleb than we've had with the previous two guys because of the struggles of the previous two guys. And then, you know, the star power things are just going to come up and, you know, they're going to be so obvious that you can't deny them. And we'll document those every single week. How many did he have? Right?
So maybe this is the way to do it, is not to expect a certain amount because you can't tell. But it, just to document them.
Yeah.
Just to note, where is he getting the thumbs up play that is the stuff in rhythm, the stuff that you have to be able to do in the quick game to extend a drive, and then the special. And you see a little mix of both, and that's probably going to end up with a lot of wins, which is the number one thing to document.
I mean, it really is. It is going to be the ultimate measure. It doesn't have to be the ultimate measure right away. And that's why, especially in your rookie year, you don't want him to have a win or else victory total that he has
to reach.
Well,
you don't, you're not interested in wins, learning how to do them. Or anything like that.
But you have to have a little tolerance.
I knew you were going to be the right guy to help me dial this in, and I've got the rest of the week to workshop it. I'll get there as we are on the precipice of the Bears season. Lots of Bears the rest of the way. When we come back, Dan Weider, we need to help him. Shane Tanney, you two and I, we need to help him get more episodes of his favorite TV show. We'll do that next on The Score.
Yes. The trade with Montez Sweat. Obviously, with him, I had a great conversation with him. Super excited to join the Bears. So he'll be here today getting his physical, and pending his physical, we'll get him going ASAP this week. So that's Montez.
I am so psyched for a brand new season of That's Montez. Who knows what Granny's got in store from her upstairs bedroom? But Montez takes it like a champ, no matter what it is. He just finds a way to laugh at the absurdities of life.
I love the laugh of Montez Sweat.
I mean, it's just amazing. And you love this TV show, That's Montez.
It's as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets. TGIF, right? It's part of the TGIF lineup.
Is that where they're putting it this year?
This week, after Everybody Hates Chris, the premiere of That's Montez.
Oh, yeah!
Granny went to the library last week, and she didn't return any books. Montez has been called in to make sure Granny brings those books back.
That sounds like a terrible episode.
Especially your first episode of a new season, man.
All right, well, I'm the only one setting a plot for these episodes. Every time we do this bit, it's only my plot. So if one of you guys wants to step in and establish a plot, for it.
I just like going, oh, yeah.
We like where you're going with the Granny angle. You know, that was much lighter than last season, where there were several problems with the Granny.
Granny keeps smoking cigs in the upstairs bedroom, and it's setting off the smoke detector.
Granny, you're going to set the house on fire. That wouldn't be good, would it, Montez?
I've lived 85 years of my life smoking cigarettes wherever I want to. I'm going to do it in my bedroom window.
The devil made her do it. All of a sudden, we're all Flip Wilson around here. I know, Montez. He loves Flip Wilson. So, I mean, I'm glad that you love that TV show.
I do.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I love that laugh.
You love that laugh?
Let me just keep playing it.
I can't believe Mark Wahlberg's taking over it this year.
Oh, yeah!
Episode 2 of That's Montez.
Come on.
Daddy went out and got some milk.
Wait a minute, who's Daddy? Is this a new character we just throw into the mix?
Again, I am the only one establishing some kind of plot season of That's Montez.
But if you're the plot establisher, clearly I need to be the character provider. I need to tell you who you're working with.
Give me somebody.
Okay. Uncle Leo came over.
Oh, Uncle Leo needs money again. Uncle Leo showed
Seinfeld
up.
Seinfeld reference.
Mm-hmm. Saw Montez's contract and said, Montez, I need a new water heater.
Montez, I need a new water heater.
He's Jewish?
Yes. He's Uncle Leo from the Seinfeld show. It's a crossover. It's unbelievable.
Uncle Leo will be hosting afternoon show on Friday. 2 to 6.
Someone made a decision. We decided on Leo.
Well, Nico can't do it.
No, Nico can do it. Nico can do it once every 2 weeks, only on an off day. Even if they're out of town, we got to fly Nico in and get him finished. So, look, you love Montez Sweat's laugh.
I do, yeah.
And do you try to get him to laugh?
When we get him, we've only had him twice, I think, during the preseason. It's going to be time to try to make a weekly effort. And you know our guy Mark Grody will help with that.
Well, that's the thing. You've got Mark Grody. I would ask Grody to try and make him laugh. I wouldn't. Maybe not Potsy. You know, I don't know if Mark Potash is the font of humor.
He might have a knack of getting at it, though, to be honest with you. He might be able to get something out of Montez.
Because he's got an edge to him.
Yeah. And it'll be a little bit of a tense back and forth for a minute, and then it'll...
Montez will break that tension with his laughter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he does with Granny.
Exactly. It's what he did with the uncle.
Yes. Do you guys have any suggestions? And feel free to text them in at 312-644-6767. How we can help Dan Wiederer elicit a laugh from Montez Sweat. I could offer one of my patented dad jokes, but those probably wouldn't work with Montez.
Montez hasn't been a big feature on Hard Knocks yet, has he? So we haven't even been able to hear the laugh on HBO's rousing comedy Hard Knocks. It's with the Chicago Bears.
Dan, I've got a Hard Knocks question for you.
Yeah, because Hard Knocks had final episode tonight on HBO.
As someone who has seen George McCaskey out and about before, I mean, as you have in different baseball field settings, whatever it may be, why do you think we didn't get any George, and what do you think he would have sounded like if we did get George on Hard Knocks?
I'm looking forward to episode 5 being over.
What are you doing here?
We need George and Montez together. Now that's a show.
That's doable.
Oh, yeah, we got no George. We've got no Montez. So we'll see what happens tonight. They've already...
It's cuts night, I think, tonight.
But they
so
gave
late.
Us...
I did see a national TV guy yesterday just ripping George to shreds for his tamper down the expectations for Caleb. These national types.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was it Danny Parkins?
Well, you know what?
Don't.
I think it was.
Oh, no.
Tanny Parkins.
Why can you say his name and I can't say his name?
No, I never said that.
What the hell,
he
man?
He said you couldn't.
My God. Yes, you know who's coming in here to replace him? It's Skip Bayless.
He's back.
Yeah, me and Skip are starting next week.
I love that
show.
Good parents. That
Skip Bayless really... and Skibbity Boppity. It's a lot of skills.
Skip Bayless and Skibbity. Skip Bayless and Skibbity Boppity. All together.
Brought to you by Social Furniture.
And
Jared Granny. Stillman.
Guy sucks. Jared Stillman sucks, by the way.
He sucks.
Nashville deserves better, Dan.
Mm. Yeah.
Jared Stillman sucks.
So if this is cuts,
pull that, Ryan.
There's not really like there's not a lot of exciting cuts of like it plays that they've set up. Like they Theo Benedict, we're gonna see Theo Benedict get cut.
I mean, he's back on the practice squad.
Right, so
you're gonna see Velas get the call that said he's sticking around.
So we'll see that
probably.
We saw the Ian Wheeler hug.
You're gonna see Austin Reed get cut and then brought back.
Yeah. You know what I found myself looking through a news source. I want to see Adrian Colbert get another job.
That was a cool part of the last episode.
I thought so, man.
Yeah.
And like learning about that guy and what he'd been through as a kid, as a 9-year-old great football player.
Yeah.
And then like see how he goes about it with the mindfulness and the meditation and grounding himself on the grass. Like I was rooting for that dude and he makes some plays against Kansas City and still gets cut.
And he got cut.
And as of right now, he doesn't have a team.
He
still a free
He's
agent.
Out. Okay.
Still a free agent.
Yeah, no, I mean, those are the types of guys you root for, right? And that's part of the charm of that show. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I do feel like the Hard Knocks genre, which is kind of about the preseason and training camp, also leaves a lot of center stage content on the cutting room floor that, especially with this Bears team, there was a lot of like center stage storylines that we didn't get enough of.
For right? sure,
like
for sure.
Jalen, Caleb.
Yeah.
DJ.
Could have gone
Cole.
On some of the bigger names,
yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah, we can touch on this a little bit more in the last hour, but you've been waiting. You've been wondering whether it was going to come up. It is. Bears content with Dan Wiederer and us next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.